Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking our top 30 fantasy defenders. And as always is Stevie Fizz. Welcome to the show, pal.
G'day, Jono. G'day, listeners. Very exciting. Love the defenders, Jono. Big, very exciting list. Got a few bolters, I think it's fair to say, and a few sliders. So I'll be excited to hear what you boys have to say. But I've picked up a new car today, Jono. I'm very excited. The old Camry died, but I've picked up the X-Trail. So I look forward to heading down to soccer practice any day now and talking with the other mums about that.
I was going to say, that's a nice soccer mum car you've got there.
Oh, yeah.
Was that your choice or Mrs. Fizz's choice?
Oh, it's a family choice, so hers.
Yep. Oh, no, it's good for little baby Fizz to get in the old X-Trail. Very quality-made car they are. And, Statesman, welcome to you. You look a bit cold there, mate. You got the blankie wrapped up, so a bit cold down there in Tassie.
No, it's not exactly cold. I'm just celebrated a little bit too hard last night, to be fair. Gave Archie a good touch-up in the BB Fantasy League and now sitting Statesman up on top, not only by a fair bit of percentage or point difference, I think it's 1,294 point difference. Statesman sitting on top of the table, undefeated. Yet again, it's a bit... I should be just Forrest Gump, not the Statesman. On top of the table again. In the top 200 again. But it's a tough life. But let's have a look down the ladder. In sixth position is Gutfield. So you manage a massive two wins so far, Jono. You must feel pretty...
Yeah, just timing my run. Just make that run to the top four and then beat you in the final yet again.
And the Apley Cricket Sucks is sitting on the bottom of the table with a point difference of minus 1,000 after five rounds. So that's going well,
though,
Steve.
There is an asterisk on that because the team above Steve isn't doing their team. They didn't do their team.
So that's
the team I went, had a big win. And so all fairness to Steve there.
In all fairness, I did beat Jono. But I feel my lack of, would you say, knowledge is the only thing holding me back.
The lack of knowledge or the lack of care?
Well, I do my team each week and I do trades. So okay. I'm chipping in. I just have no idea what the hell I'm doing.
Fair enough.
I picked guys who weren't even playing last week.
Now, I do have a big ask for next year. If the Draft Doctors do a league, we actually want to get some pretty serious players, because currently we're sitting in the top 5% of leagues in the country, or should we say in the world, but we've actually got two players that just simply aren't doing their team. So imagine how high we would actually be if we had all players having a crack.
It would be good getting that top 1%. Is there a prize for league wins or just individuals?
I'm unsure. I would assume there is. I have quickly looked at the prize and did say something about leagues, but I didn't go into detail to find out what the actual prize is. It might be, you know, the teams win a membership to their favourite BBL team or something like that. But I haven't looked at that in detail. But look, it's a quite big comp this year. That's 76,000 people in that. So that's probably
double from last year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's three times the size of Real Dream Team. So that's only going to get bigger and bigger. There'll be over 100,000 playing BBL Fantasy next year. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. And if you want to check us out on social media, you can do that by following us on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Search The Draft Doctors there. And we've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, where our first ruck rankings dropped last week. And to much joy to the listeners who were very thrilled with those rankings being dropped. And coming up this week, we'll have the defenders, which we're talking about today. And Statesman, why don't you kick us off with your top 30 Dream Team / Ultimate Footy defenders?
Absolutely, gentlemen. I found it very easy to rank the top four because we've already gone it through in the top 30 players for Dream Team in total. So that's quickly run off those four. Defender number one is Rory Laird, had him overall in ninth. Defender number two, Elliot Yeo. I'll keep him there, even though we know about the injury at the moment. But at the moment, we're not seeing that impact his season. It may be just a bit of the JLT. Had him overall at number 19. Overall at number 20, so therefore defender number three is Kate Simpson. And defender number four, who we actually had unlucky to miss out in the top 30, was Jake Lloyd, who had an average of 92 last year. But if you take away that one injury impact, the game had an average of 96. So their averages from last year were 100, 98, 97 and 96 comparably. So it was easy for them to fit in. Now, the next six was actually a little bit hard because there's a tier two that is quite large section for defenders this year. And it's actually start working on Jono's gut feel. Who's got the role? Who's got the position? Who's got this job security? And who's at that stage of their career where they're going to pick up? So number five, so starting my second tier, is Dylan Robinson. So Dylan Robinson was in the top three defenders last year until the point where Montagna got back his position in the back line. So as soon as that happened, he actually started filling the gaps and actually doing a bit of manning up. Now Montagna is gone. You actually see Robinson freed up again. So I can see him lifting to a 95 average, had a 90 average last year. So Dylan Robinson is fifth for me. Michael Hibberd, it was really hard to put him any higher. I just can't see where the extra points come from. I still think it'll be used coming out of defence. We all know that that might be an impact with Jake Lever. So it was hard for him to push any further up. But I think he'll hold that sort of tier two station. Brandon Ellis, I've gone for number seven, which is my surprise. I think Brandon Ellis is capable of being a 100-point player. And I think he started in the second half of the season to really get quite comfortable with where his role was. So his second half of the season was much stronger than his first half. I think Brandon Ellis could really surprise and end up being a tier one defender. The next one is Jack Crisp. So trying to find out what's really going to happen in that Collingwood lineup, I think Jack Crisp is going to come off the halfback flank slant wing, so get a bit of time in both. 88 average, again, another one of those players that just seemed to get more comfortable in the second half of the season once he really understood the role and found his right place in the team. Number nine is Basher Hooley. His data would suggest he should be higher, but he's just been a little bit unreliable for the amount of games he can put out each and every year. So an average of 90 is probably what I expect. He's in the top 10, but I'm just not as secure that he's going to be out in the park as much as a Crispin and Ellis would be. Number 10, I feel he's going to drop further, but it's hard to ignore last year with an average of 94 was Michael Hurley. Could understand he's right up there in Supercoach, but with Dream Team, I just don't see him continuing that that type of scoring. I think it's more high 80s, early 90s rather than the mid 90s. So that's my top 10, Laird, Yeo, Simpson, Lloyd, Robertson, Hibberd, Ellis, Crisp, Hooley and Hurley.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. We've really got a lot of the same guys there. The only guy I've got in my top 10 that you didn't have is actually Luke McDonald. I had in at number 9, which I don't, you know, I think you'll probably get to him pretty quickly if I can guess. But the guy I'm really different, I've got two guys I'm really different on. I've got Basher Hooley at 5. You mentioned talking about role and who's secure and what we know. Basher Hooley, we yep. know what he's going to do. And like you talk about the games missed. Well, I mean, he's missed games through suspension. Like, you know, that's not an injury. I feel really comfortable with him. I've got, you mentioned Brandon Ellis at 7. I've got him at 6, so I'm pretty comfortable with him as well. But I've got Dylan Robinson all the way down at number 17. I see a bit of a decline unless something like Goddard stands up and can make his way into the team. I'm actually I'm pretty cold on Robinson. I've got Shane Savage as my big improver for St Kilda. who had a pretty blistering end to the year, if we can recall. So I guess that's where we're a bit different. But all the others, I mean, you know, Hibbard, we're two spots apart. Crisp, two spots apart. Hurley, three spots apart. So
yeah, pretty much same for me. The other ones I've got in my top 10, I've got Howe at number 8. I know you guys aren't that high on him, but I'm still pretty high on him. Still going to see him averaging in the low 90s for the Dream Team format. And I've actually got Ryan Burton as a bit of a bolter in 2018, number 9. At number 9, but still in the top 10. A couple of spots different. I had Hooley at 6. Robinson was 5. Alice, 10. Hibbard, 9. And Crisp at 7 for me. Same, but a little bit different.
Beautiful. Well, I think my first 10 were the group of security, and I'm quite happy to remain hot on Roberton from what I saw at the beginning of the year. My second group is, with the exception of two players, is my group of hope. This is the future backbone of the defensive line. So number 11 is Zach Williams. I think he's up for an upscale year, although he's more of a super coach than he is a dream team. Average of 82 last year. I think he can knock on the average of 90, and quite happy if he plays that defensive role all the way through the year. Number 12 is KK. Kay Collajasny, he's got the scoring potential. It's the year of hope that everything just falls into place for KK under Stewie Dew. So I think, again, he could be averaging around that 90 and quite comfortable. Number 13 is Luke McDonald. Steve just mentioned him. Average of 85 last year. I think he can take another step up and be around that 90 mark. Zach Tui, I think he found his club, found his role. 85 last year. Quite comfortable that he's going to continue his upward phase. Number 15 is one I'm a bit down on, with an average of 90 last year, is Jeremy Howe. And it's more I'm worried about his role. If you keep all the prospective forwards of last year turning into defenders, slant midfielder, slant ruckman, then someone needs to go forward. You need to have someone inside 50. And I reckon Jeremy Howe, which was his promise when he was recruited to play as a forward, might be actually starting to fulfil that role for the Collingwood Football Club. He seems to be the right fit of what they absolutely need. I can't see Collingwood going a small forward lineup like Richmond and actually having Mason Cox as the Jack Riewoldt role. I actually see more of it. I see more of a Jeremy Howe playing the Jack Riewoldt role than a Mason Cox. Number 16, Christian Salem. Great scoring package last year. Couple of injury affected games. They've still got an average of 85. Looks very promising there. And they like him in the role. Number 17 is Ryan Burton. So impressed with him as a second year player last year. I think he's just going to continue his upward stream. Number 18 is a second-year player, Alex Witherden. Got to be right up there for your keeper leagues for a defender's average of 88 in his first year. Quite amazing. He can just find the pill. He's the one that kicks out, so he's getting a lot of the plus threes just for when the opposition kick points. Number 19. And I wanted to knock him right off the face of the earth, but it was ridiculous to do too, and that's Heath Shaw. He had to remain in that sort of mix somewhere along the line, so it's mixed up in the group of hope. And number 20, another second-year player this year, is Andrew McGrath. He was so impressive in his first season. I think he's going to take a major step up and get a bit of midfield time as well. So that's my group of hope. With a couple of downturning players in Howe because of role and Heath Shaw because of age.
Yeah, pretty different towards the back end there with some of my picks. Starting from, well, I had Salem at 16, but 17 had Witherden, 18 Birchall, 19 had T-Mac, and
Birchall.
20...
Birchall?
Yeah. He's injured.
He'll be right. It's bloody...
He's 64 and played two games in the last decade.
But what's his ceiling?
85, that's it. That's all he needs. That's his average, 80, 85. You look at the data, that's all he's pumped out his whole career. 80, 85. Just plays in his box, that's it.
You should get in. You get in your box, John.
Yeah, Birchall's not in my group of hope.
I think I've got Birchall at like, he's like 47.
Really?
Yeah,
nah, I'm high on him this year. I've got him high in most.
He doesn't make my list of six that just missed out.
Wow. All right. That's interesting. For a guy who averages around the 80 every year, he's just solid 80 defender when you look at his data. So I've got him there. What do I have him? 18. T-Mac at 19. And Savage for me is 20s. He's an interesting one, Savage, this year. So I've just got him in my top 20 for me.
Yeah, I've actually got Savage at 20 as well. I'm pretty keen. The end of the year, I really like it. We know he's dropped weight. I see him being the Lee Montagna of this year, quite frankly. The big one, James Sicily. What? not even top 20?
No.
I've got him at 12. I got no concerns.
He's in my group of despair, which is my next group of 10. And the reason why the despair is James Sicily, once all the players come back in, there was a requirement for Dunstan and Sicily to play back. I just can't see him playing back next year when their defenders return.
I think he'll stay there. I think Gunston will move up. I can't see him moving away. He was so successful there. Oh, I've got
I remember bringing him in and he scored me a whole 14. Yeah, it was so successful.
That's why I think he's got him so low. He's just disappointed at that last score. It just left a bit of taste in his mouth.
Well, it was in the fantasy finals too, I think. So that's, you know, whatever. I'm pretty keen. I'm absolutely high. I've got Burton at 14. I think if anyone's going to change role, it's Burton, quite frankly. But I don't think he will. But that's where I got that. And I got Hanley at 15. I got to take a piece of that. I can't not roll the dice there. You talk about group of hope. You talk about a guy who can theoretically average 100.
Yep, totally agree.
And I think guy I'm lower on is KK. I got him at 24.
So much potential.
Yeah, I understand you don't have to draft him at where you've got him ranked. But it's just been such a yo-yo. The reliability's not there. I know he's had the time off with the concussion, but there's also a lot of guys fighting for that halfback role at Gold Coast. So I guess that's a bit of a concern as well.
No, I'm hot on KK, hot on Robertson, hot on Burton, and hot on Witherden.
I think I'll still get him if I've got him as my D24. Maybe not in every league, but I think I'm still in the mix.
So I'll move on to my last 10. So this is my group of desperation. number 21, Pierce Hanley. We just talked about him. Steve is right on. He has great potential. Unfortunately, his body's starting to let him down a little bit. But if he can string it together, you are very right, Steve. He can score big. So if you get him as a D4, you'll be very happy with yourself, especially if he pumps out what he potentially can. 22 is Tom McDonald. 23 is Shane Savage. A little bit lower on him than the others are, and I think it's Robertson's actually going to get that big role. 24 is, I can't have a list without having a goat in it, so Sharon Goat is in at 24. I think there's some big upside for him, and I think getting that season out of the way, only averaged 77, but that was a step enough for me, and I think Sharon Goat will step it up this year. Next up is Luke Hodge. I just seriously, again, you talk about the Pierce Hanley of what can happen. I think it was foolish not to include him. Is if he's sitting there as your D4, D5, you'll be a very, very happy little camper with Lukey Hodge if he puts together what he can. JJ is next to 26. James Sicily, although I'm not as confident as Steve is with his role security, I think if he actually plays up forward, then he's actually going to be a liability for your defence. So I wouldn't be going on him early unless I see very clearly through the JLT that he's actually lining up as a defender. And he's not playing a closed down role because as soon as they put a bit of pressure on, he went to water. Callum Mills at 28. It's time for him to break out. We probably expected too much out of him as a second year player. But he's third year now, and I think they need to change a few things, Sydney, so we'll get some bit of time in the midfield. I thought this bloke was gone, but as I kept on going through the list, it's that point of desperation. I was trying to work out who's playing in the defence for Port Adelaide. So Jasper Pittard got a reprieve. Well, it was him or Broadbent.
I was actually, mate, I was waiting for it and I was like, oh my God, if he does it again, Jesus.
Another one I'm up on, but I just think there's so many different options. Tommy Cutts, you talked about the other day. No, it's not Tommy Cutts. Oh, it's not Tommy Cutts.
Oh.
But you said Tommy.
We had to jump on you, Tommy, like a fat kid on a cupcake, said, then, jeez.
You said Tommy Cutts is not in the best 22. It's really weird with Brisbane. They start to have too many at that mid-range player, and I don't know who it's going to be. So I've got Sam Mays in there, who I think is a good quality player, and I think he's worthwhile for that 30 spot. Just before you mention those, the missed out is Luke Ryan. I think he's earned that sweeper role for Fremantle, and if that pays off, he's going to score big. Because of Doherty, Aaron Mullett could be a worthy candidate. Langdon, we know, can score well for Collingwood. I'm not convinced on Bernie Vince this year. That's why he missed out. It could be round five, they 1-4, and Bernie Vince disappears off the list and they go developing. And you've got two Western Bulldogs players here, and I just find it really hard to back Western Bulldogs players in at the moment, and I hope that changes in time, but that's Suckling and Biggs. I just couldn't find a position because I just don't know what role they're going to play and whether they're going to be in the 22. I can't be convinced. I reckon JJ has just got a little bit more scoring power than the two of them, and that's why he makes it in the group of desperation.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Last third of the 10 there. I mean, I had JJ at 21. I think he can bounce back and actually bounce back pretty well. I'll get to that when I'd mention him in the super coach part there. Sam Mays, I'm high on. I mean, it's pretty hard to identify which Brisbane Lions defenders are going to be it for next year. So you could just throw a blanket on about four or five of them and it's going to be a crapshoot. So if you get it right, well done to you, but I'm having a bit of trouble identifying which one it was going to be. I had Heater at 23, Sicily 24, Hanley, Langdon, if he gets his body right, I'm pretty happy about. Excuse me. I did have Mullett, Sharon Goat, Wilson and Hodge rounding out my top 30. I'm pretty high on Nathan Wilson. You said Luke Ryan. I think Ryan and Wilson will be the go-to guys there. For Freo.
Yeah, I think it's really funny, isn't it? The way we look at these guys, obviously very much higher on Hanley. I'm completely out on Tom McDonald. I don't want any part of him. I think he's playing forward, and I don't want any part of that. I'm convinced of it. At the very worst, he'll be a swingman, and I don't want any part of swingers. We know that's your thing down in Tassie, but that's not for me. Here in Frankston.
Any action is good action, buddy.
I'm a little bit higher on Shane Savage. They were only three spots apart, so it's not that bad. I got Sharon Goat significantly lower at 43. Although I will say the end of the year for him, where he did knock out a bunch of 90s in a row, or high 80s at the very least, is very encouraging. We know he can find space, but I'm just... And I think you're right, getting that year under his belt is a good thing, but I think you'll get him pretty late. I don't think you need to be too high on him. JJ, a little bit lower. Sicily, obviously, I'm a lot higher. Callum Mills, I will say I'm a lot higher on. I'm at 23 on him. He also had a very injury-affected score. I think he got knocked out in the first minute of the game or something. He only had two, so his average is actually repeating. And if you can repeat your average in the second year, I'm pretty happy. The only problem I see with Mills is that he's actually going to need marks to build his scores because he's not going to tackle anyone ever, and he's going to be a real low 20s possession winner for the time being. So I think his upside is seriously capped. I'm pretty happy to have him as a D3, D4 kind of guy, but that's about it. Jasper Pittard, I'm not any part of that Port Adelaide halfback line life. It's just such a... mishmash of I don't know what's going on. Sam Mays, I got a little bit lower at 36. So, I mean, he's all right. But again, like you said, you know, could it be Tommy Cutler? Could it be Cedric Cox? We hear his name being thrown about. It's just a bit of another. It's a bit of a mishmash there. I've got Jeremy McGovern at 26. I just think you know what you're going to get. It might not be the craziest upside in the world. I've got Braden Maynard at 25 from Collingwood. I'm buying into the hype. He's put together a couple of 20-plus game seasons. I kind of like that. They obviously have a lot of faith in him. Mooted midfield move. We'll see how that pans out over the preseason. These can always change.
Someone's got to
change
them
as we're recording right now.
Yeah, some of them's got to move out of the defence, and they're sending every second player back there.
Yeah, that's right. I've got Jay Smooth from Collingwood at 32. I think he's pretty well locked into that small defender role, and he can certainly knock out a massive dream team score. And I will say I'm a lot higher on Ryan Clark from North Melbourne at 33. He would be my honourable mention, I think. I'm a little bit lower on Aaron Mullett, despite being the leader of his fan club last year. That I know people have talked about he's going to be the guy, but I'm not convinced of that at all.
Can Cam O'Shea get a bit of action?
Of course.
That's what they've been pumping him up about, yeah.
This is what I mean. Like, to me, it's to be sitting here saying that someone's locked into this role, I'm not convinced in any way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I couldn't fit him into the 30.
Yeah.
But is he certainly got the scoring power if he does get the role?
Yeah.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
And it's why I'm not so hot on the list of Collingwood players, because there's just a whole heap of them, and I'm going, well, they can't all play.
Well, that's why I like Josh Smith, because he's the small defender, so you know he will play. They don't have a heap of that type. They've moved on Marley Williams. They've moved on Ben Sinclair. But he does have the...
Farco.
Well, who knows where... Who knows if he plays?
Yeah. That's true.
Josh Smith, we know he's a dream team superstar. He just seems to do it, whether it's consistent or not. Yeah, but you're in the D4 range. What are you going to do?
Yep, true.
Yep. And if you are liking the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of seconds, hit the 5-star rating there. And if you like Laszlo Panaflex, he's left us a review this week. The title was Better Than Chicken Twisties. He says he's been a listener to this pod since we started 2 seasons ago, and it's no coincidence that he's been dominating my draft leagues ever since. It's funny and informative for all the key aspects of the GOAT fantasy format. Furthermore, the doctors are very engaging and responsive to questions on social media, which helps when you have tough decisions to make for your sit start, your waiver wire pickups, free agency, or just any general draft questions. Keep it up, fellas. So thank you very much, Laszlo Panaflex. It only takes you a couple of minutes, so if you do have a couple of minutes spare, drop us that review. We very much appreciate it. But moving on now to the greatest fantasy game out there in Supercoach. I've got me top 30 defenders here, starting it off pretty similar to the Dream Team format. You've got Laird, Yo. I've got Zach Williams up there at number 3 off an average of 94 last year. He can either equal that or better it for next year. Jakey Lloyd at number 4, and Cade Simpson comes in number 5. Number 6 is Hooley, 7 Jeremy Howe, 8 McGovern, 9 Dylan Robinson, and rounding out the 10 is Michael Hibbard.
Yeah, well, Christ, Johnny. Could you go any faster?
Yep.
I can't.
Would you like me to repeat again slower?
Well, I've lost, what was it, Laird, Yo...
Williams.
Zach Williams. I'm writing this down, but I worry about the listeners. They'll just be hearing a blur, especially if they listen to this at like 1.5 times speed.
Yes, and that's the way you should listen to it. It's all about...
Get through it quicker.
That's it. Just to repeat, number 1 was Laird, 2 was Yo, 3 was Williams, 4 was Lloyd, 5 Simpson, 6 Hooley, 7 Howe, 8 McGovern, 9 Robinson, and 10 was Hibbard.
Hurley.
No.
Your Jeremy Howe love is just beyond belief.
I'm all about Howe.
Yeah. How have you got him that high?
94 average last year. I see him maintaining.
What was Hurley's average?
102, but I don't see him maintaining that next year.
I must admit, I feel the same, but I thought in Supercoach it'll be higher than what I'm expecting him to be in Dream Team.
See, I'm not high on Hurley as well next year either. I think he comes right back into that pack, into 92 to 85 pack.
Yeah, so how many defenders averaged over a ton last year in Supercoach?
Hurley led Doherty, three.
Three. So he's one of the. So he's in the top three, and now he's not in the top 10. I'm just surprised that the drop's that big.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not high on him. He's never done it before. He's built towards it, but I just don't see it as a sustainable scoring for him, especially when they've got a whole heap of these other players they've brought in. You've got McGrath developing, Saad running back, different roles, yeah, but they'll look to use them more, and he won't be used as that intercept, ring-bound, slingshot player that scores you the points in Supercoach.
Steve?
I will say this on Hurley. I've got him ranked at 6. Now, we know he missed the whole season. Two things have happened in that time. I reckon Supercoach have tinkered with the scoring, as they do, to make intercepts more of a thing, more of a score. And mm-hmm. also, if we look at the clangers across the league over the last two seasons, they're at levels that are off the charts compared to what they were when those Essendon boys were playing. So I think the game is... look at Michael Hibbert. Well, he scored out of the box compared to his previous as well. So I think there's been a slant that we missed with the suspended players. And I actually think this is more sort of the... I think Hurley does come back a little bit because I think Hooker probably slides back into the defence. But I'm not convinced that it was anything they were doing before that kept the scores down rather than the game model itself actually changing a little bit and the game of AFL to suit them a little bit more.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting theory.
Can I just throw out my big one? I've got Rance at 5. Oh, I can't believe he's coming out of the
top
10.
Course.
This is insane for me. He's dropped 6 points, but I mean, he's gone back-to-back 95s before. I think you're getting a big discount on Alex Rance.
Yeah, he's in my next bunch, but I just see him coming into that pack. There's such an even team now, Richmond. They don't rely on him as much to use the ball. That's why I think he's coming back into that pack, and he's not going to be getting those 95 averages that we've seen in the past.
And we are seeing teams actually having a strategy against his game.
Yeah, and absolutely, absolutely.
I'd rather take the chance on him than your Jeremy Howe.
I agree.
Well, Jono does him, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And Jono's got no idea. That's why he doesn't succeed, Steve. Doesn't make grand finals like I do.
Actually, I've won our home league, which is Supercoach, and Steve never has. So
Logic has no place in Supercoach. This is what we're all forgetting.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Because we don't know how it's scored.
Yeah, correct.
Well, this is how I've done my rankings. I've just pulled names out of hats here. This is how I've done my rankings.
Well, actually, because you are the gut. Team? You are the gut feeling. You just vomit names. It's
well, that's how it's done. That's how it's done.
What's your next 10, bud?
Number 11 is Michael Hurley. Number 12, Alex Rance. 13 is Mr. Crisp himself. 14, Tui. 15 is Alice, 16 Luke McDonald, 17 Burton, 18 Johannesson, 19 Shaw, and 20 Daniel Rich for me.
Daniel Rich.
He's more of your super coach player than your fantasy player.
How the hell have I got Rich higher than you? That's my big question.
Oh.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got him at 14.
Well, 6th position, it's not too bad.
Well, what I'm looking at is I just saw the way that the Hawthorn boys really excelled last year. They took Gunston and Sicily, who have never played defence before, and they were both absolute superstars. Well, Daniel Rich, I mean, does Hodge take some attention away from Daniel Rich?
It's possible, but Rich is actually a pretty good user with that left foot of his, and that's...
I understand, but can he
what's
take
what's
Hodgie
doing? Just
going to
punch blokes in the head, or it's possible. I just think people see the name Daniel Rich and that perennial burn man, but they're used to him playing as that midfielder. Well, you're going to get value from him as a defender this year.
Yeah, I think in it's one of those things. I don't want any piece of him in dream team formats, but I'm really quite happy to take him on in the Supercoach format. Yeah, I've got I don't mind Daniel Rich this year, especially after Luke Hodge coming in. I really like it. I think he can get some midfield rotations. I know he's a bit of a tag target, but Jesus, doesn't Dane Zorko have to be a tag target as well?
That's right, you've got Zorko beams. You've got a few there now, so it's not just a one-trick pony at the Brisbane Lions. The one I like about Johannesson, I've got him at 18, but I actually think he can finish higher this year. But looking at his records last year, he dropped 3 possessions and 3 marks a game last year in Supercoach. That's massive. He came from a 94 average down to 82 in 2017. So all he has to do is pick up 1 or 2 marks, possessions and a mark a game, and that's right back up there in the top 10 zone. So I'm quite confident that JJ and the Bulldogs can bounce back, but I don't see him going to what he was in, was it 2016, where he won the Norm Smith and had a really good year. So I still see him around that 10 to 15 range finishing in 2018.
I guess the guy I've got, again, I've got Sicily at 13. I'm obviously a lot higher on him than you guys. I've got Shannon Hearn in at 15. I'm really all above the Shannon Hearn train this year. I think Yo will play midfield. I think that means intercept marks galore for Shannon Hearn and Jeremy McGovern. We know he's a great super coach, so I'm all about that life. And I've got Steve May in at 17. He's just a great super coach player.
Yeah. Oh, look, I don't disagree on that. He's in my next rack of players, but I just think he's very undervalued, and you can get him a little bit later. You won't have to take him so high.
Not in our league. Well, you don't have to take him at 17, but
no.
You know, that's
well. People love him in our league of records, don't they?
That's true. He was a very sought after player.
He certainly was. What are we up to? 21. 21, I've got Tommy Mack. 22 is Steve May. 23, you're not going to like it. It is Grant Birchall. 24, James Sicily. 25, Shannon Hearn. And the last few picks here, they're sort of your lottery pick that can boom bust. I've got Alex Witherden there. Tommy Langdon, Sam Mays, Christian Salem, and Shane Savage to round out the top 30.
Yeah, it's I can't be that high on Mays. I think you're missing Andrew McGrath. I got him at 24. I'm all about that life.
He's just outside for me. He's in that honourable mention. I mean, with the Supercoach format, you've probably got, a dozen that can fit in that 26 plus to 30 range. I mean, it's pretty tough this year to rank the defenders for Supercoach, because there's just so many good ones this year.
Well, I think that's what it comes down to is role security, pedigree, opportunity. So, I got 21 Witherden, 22 Burton, Shaw, McGrath, Hanley, Savage, Tom McDonald, obviously is a bit more valuable than Supercoach. Johannesson at 28, 29 I got Salem, and actually 30 I got Nick Haynes. So I quite like Nick Haynes.
Again,
you're right, but I can't get past Birchall. He's injured. The scoring history is just, it's gone down.
It's a solid 85 for the last 5 or 6 years. Have a look.
But he's what does Grant Birchall from 6 years have to do with this year?
The last 6 years has been a solid 85. That is perfect D3 material for me.
But he's injured all last year. He's injured now.
A fractured jaw and a PCL.
Well, it's not good. I mean, he's got a busted leg at the moment. I don't know, man. I think you're on the downslide, and I just worry about him coming back up.
That's the beauty of rankings. One of us will be right.
If you don't have to draft him there, I don't think. So you get him later than where you've got him, and if you're right, you will nab a bargain. But I think I'll get McGrath later, and I don't see why he's any worse. I mean, he might not, let's say, averages 2 points less, but his injury security is much better, I feel.
Mm. Oh, that's a fair point, but I'm just much higher on Birchall this year for me.
And I'm not going to support him, mate. He turns 30 in a couple of weeks, so that's a line through him for me.
Well, you can support him for a couple more weeks till he hits the three.
He's gone.
And just missing out, I've got like Mills, Suckling, KK, Robbie Tarrant.
Oh, I could go on and on. Yeah, and I will.
Is that right? Yeah,
I've got KK, Mullet, Wilson, Hodge, Haynes. There's just so many that you can chuck in there. It's not funny, so it's very hard. But hey, it's January. These will go up Friday, and I'm sure they'll change with injuries and whatnot to come throughout the JLT. So that's the beauty of rankings.
I will say, God, I'm so high on this. I'm not high on him in my ranks, but I'm really keen to get Harris Andrews in my team. I know the averages are so low, but just that Luke Hodge thing, I reckon he's going to be the intercept marker. I could see him
being a big fan of him, and I've just been waiting for him I'll pick him up each year, just hoping that's going to be the year. And you're quite right, I reckon it could be this year, especially with the talent they've got in that that back line.
Yeah, it's the last pick in your draft.
Oh, for sure. How are we doing there for time, Steve? I think we're doing pretty good, aren't we?
Doing really well. 41 minutes, so. Got some questions, Jono.
We do have some questions. And the first one kicking off, it was actually from last week. It came in after we recorded the show. It's from Aaron Dean on Facebook. He says, what are the indicators that someone will be looking for that next breakout player?
I'll take this one, gentlemen, seeing you both staring at me. Or is it just the way things look?
Just the way things look.
Yeah, I thought so. Look, at the end of the day, it's role and opportunity. So we look at a classic example is there's really two main breakout years. Some break the mold, but you've got year three and year five are your two breakout years. If you're talking high-class players, like a Callum Mills we talked about before, he's coming into his third season in 2018. So there's a fair indicator that history says that someone that talented will have their best performing year in their third season, and that'll be the biggest jump that they have. So that's an automatic thing that happens with the majority of players. The next key thing is a key indicator of opportunity. So a Dom Sheed is going to have a breakout year in 2018 because Sam Mitchell and Matt Prittis have actually gone from their list. So they've got the opportunity for his role to be expanded. He's already proven that points per minute and his opportunities in the midfield that he's a really good scorer. But he's never had that consistency of playing in the midfield. He'll get that as soon as 2018 comes. So that is basis of their natural development, which generally triggers it at their third year if they're highly talented or if they're working a little bit harder at the game and spending more time in their state league models. It might be the fifth year that they come and break out. And the other one is the opportunity. So the opportunity of fulfilling the role that they're going to perform best at. So they're the major two things that you look at. And there's a big list every year. And you'll be surprised if you look through players' history of when their breakout happens. It's generally that period that we talked about between the 3 and the 5 year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just throw on a little bit on top of that. And that's a little bit of pedigree as well. Looking last year, even before the JLT series, I was like, when we were doing this very show, actually, I said Zach Jones could be a sneaky guy to be a top 30 defender. You're talking about a first-round pick coming into his third season. We know Dane Rampey, and there was a couple other injuries across the Sydney back line, so there's your opportunity. And it just sort of came together, especially through the first half of the year. So that's why we're sort of looking at, you know, Callum Mills and Darcy Parrish, but even lower-ranked guys like your Braden Maynards and your Ryan Clarks, because there's just going to be opportunity for them.
Absolutely.
Yep, totally agree with everything said there. The next question from Adza08Alf on Twitter, or Adam as the humans call him, is he says, in AFL Fantasy Keeper League options for defenders, who would you be looking at out of Bowes, Scrimshaw, Morrison, Perryman, Sedic, Cox, Fisher and Young?
Definitely Perryman's number one, and Bowes will go as number two, but I don't think Bowes will actually go as a defender for a long period of time. I think somewhere along the line he'll become a midfielder. But Perryman will come up in a bit of articles that I do over the next month or so, so watch out for the article on Perryman.
Yeah, I also like Young from the Bulldogs, drafted as a forward, but they've put him in as that interceptor role, so whether it's just a backup for Easton Wood in another couple of years to come, who knows, but he could be certainly one to watch in the next couple of years.
I actually have Harry Morrison steadily climbing my ranks to about the 70s, just with Grant Birchall going to miss the first month and a half of the season.
As he does.
As he does. I've actually got the smooth-moving, silky foot skills of Harry Morrison coming in. But wait and see, because Grant Birchall's about to die, probably.
Well, he's over 30. His risk factor's high.
If, I mean, Jono's buried him already. It's unbelievable.
Put the draft doctor's curse on him. At Bangers and Mash on Twitter says, out of the returning players from injury this year, who has A, the best value for draft leagues, and B, a chance to play the entire season?
Well, who's injured?
Well, you've got Harley Bennell, Nick Nat.
No, Harley Bennell.
KK,
yep.
Michael Barlow.
Oh, yes. Well, they're three very good options and three options that could certainly play out the whole year.
Tommy Langdon coming back from injury, whether he plays out the whole year, big question mark there, but he's still good value. He'd be value for your draft leagues for sure.
Yeah, well, I think Tommy Langdon, he strung a lot of games together in the back half of the year after missing quite a long time. I just wonder about Nick Nat. I've got him pretty high in my ruck rankings for Supercoach. I just wonder if they're going to ease him through the first, say, 6 weeks of the competition before we start seeing some big time. We know they've got a lot of tall timber options at West Coast.
Hello, Scotty Lysette, also coming back from injury, playing one or two games.
My problem with Barlow is he's always such a candidate to have his role shifted. We don't know what the new coach is going to think about him. He's one I might be okay missing out on, Michael. But I know the upside's there, but I might just be okay missing out on him.
I think through the discussion, and if we're just talking about the boys we've mentioned there, I think KK is the actual value. Because I don't think people will be jumping all over him. And I think I, by far, had him highest in those rankings that we're talking about before. So I think he becomes the real value that could actually play out the whole year. So I think Nick Nattel is a sexy name. There's going to be a lot of hype, especially super coach, about Nick Nat. Plays a couple of good games, there's going to be a lot of talk. So I reckon he'll go hot and he'll go early, and way too early for the probably draft value he's going to give you. Barlow, if he has a good pre-season game and is playing midfield time, will go early because he'll be potentially in the top three forwards. Langdon, I don't think is really that much value, especially in the Dream Team format. So I reckon KK is the one you get at value. You get probably in the latter half of the draft, and if he plays out the full season, give you 90.
And the thing with KK, he only missed because of lingering concussion symptoms. So whether they cleared up in round 16, 17 and he's fit to go, who knows, and plays with a helmet, good chance to play.
Well, there's another...
I'm loving KK this year. That's another curse. Gone.
Well, concussion, Jono, Jesus Christ. I will say there's another concussion guy who you'll get even later in your draft.
Brayshaw.
So I might take a little nibble
at
that.
Big fan of Brayshaw. Yeah. Big fan of Brayshaw.
Yeah.
And the last question is from Sam Harrison, who is at Harrison Sam on Twitter. As of right now, what would your 10-person league top 10 be? So I'm not sure if you're saying players or people just in general you'd want to play with.
Well, not you.
Well, you're not in mine, so.
Well, we did our top 30 shows only a couple of weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so I think it was pretty unanimous that Titch would be right up there in both formats. Danger would be up there in both formats. Zach Merritt, Dream
Laird,
Team.
Lloyd.
Yeah, Laird and Yo, I think, were both top 10 in both formats for me. I think Manigola was pretty close to a top 10, but yeah, I think that's a pretty good start. I think Lachie Neal, I had top 7 in both formats as well.
But if it is fantasy football, I want to draft the Hulk. Why can't I draft the Hulk?
Is that right? Where was that, Rafi?
The league.
Yeah.
I think Josh Kelly was in everyone's top 10 as
yes.
well.
Yes, he was. Yes,
and of course, was. Dusty.
Yes.
Yeah. And
was that
I think...
Because was... I remember there was another question. And that was there was a GIF.
Was that the... Oh!
Yeah,
was that
right.
actually a question?
Oh, there was a question attached to it.
Hang on, I've just got it right here. I thought that was... I skipped over that. Okay.
Yeah, I could just skip over it.
It's a GIF. How do you explain it to them?
Well, I'll set the scene for you, people.
From our friend,
I'll set the scene.
At Crippled Brew on Twitter. Set the scene and then I'll read the question.
Yeah, look, you know, we all have a good GIF. You know what? We're all adults here and I hope most of our listeners are because I'm about to set a sexy, sexy scene.
Children-friendly show this week, please do.
Well, I did notice when the show gets tagged explicit, we don't get as many downloads. I'm trying to keep it on straight and narrow. But we all love a sext when you get a racy photo sent to you. And there was obviously a woman. Maybe she wasn't the most attractive, but I don't know. I've had a few of these Royal Dutch post-horn bargain beers from Coles. Things could be looking worse. She's lying on the floor, slapping her butt. In her tracky dacks, it was all clothes on. And
they're tracky jeans. They're tracky jeans.
Oh, the tracky jeans.
Tracky dacks that look like jeans.
That's the sort of thing you get down at the Big Dubs. Or Venture, as they used to have in the... Statesman, do you remember Venture?
I do remember Venture as well.
Yes.
The Big V. That was great. Great times. A lot of bargains we had at Venture. And she's trying to look sexy, slapping her butt, making... sexy eyes at the camera and her kid walks in to shot and she quickly brushes him off and Jono, what was the question attached to this GIF?
At Crippled Brewer asked, which has more class, at Statesman 33 or this amazing example of motherhood below? And the response was tough to say. I'm going to say the lady in this GIF, because I think once Statesman gets a few pinos in him, he just cuts right loose.
Well, I think it's clearly the lady, because throughout the whole ordeal, she not only managed to hold her dignity, her smile, and she never gets violent with the child, never shows frustration. It's all in good fun. She's just a lovable larrikin, whereas I could bring up the name, Nick Raywald.
Matthew Broadbent.
And the stage will just fly off the handle. Look, he's tearing down a curtain as we speak on the Skype chat.
And, of course, my response was using Job from Arrested Development, who has basically got two major sayings, and one of those is, I've made a huge mistake, and the other one is, come on, which I've given it a come on.
Jeez, I don't think the photo was that sexy.
No.
Oh. Hey, we had another question. Someone asked about breakout defenders. I did answer it.
I didn't see that one. I'm sorry.
But I'd be interested to hear if anyone had any different takes. The question was, do we have any breakout, like low-ranking sleeper defenders for this year, which seems to fit in for this show's topic?
Sleeper defenders.
So I was saying your Riley Bonner, your... Ryan Clark, your Liam Duggan, if you consider him a sleeper. I'm looking at
Jam O'Shea.
I'm scrolling through my Twitter mentions and I'm just seeing that GIF come up and
Boys,
we need to finish this podcast. Okay, that's just
all right, we'll wrap it up and give it a bit of Cam O'Shea action. He could be a sleeper as well for Carlton.
Yeah, any hidden gems. So I had Harry Morrison, Riley Bonner, Braden Maynard, Jack Bowes, anyone like that. Is there anyone I'm missing, boys? Anyone you can think of?
Nick Vosten.
Your boy.
My boy. All right. That wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that by finding us on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. We are on Facebook and Instagram. Search The Draft Doctors there. And we do have the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. The rankings now will be dropping each and every week, along with articles as well. So be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.